This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, February 9th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, a look at today's news. Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says despite some last-minute cuts, the state stands to gain from the proposed federal stimulus package. Jenna Dooley has more.
The overall package stands at more than $800 billion. Senator Durbin says the stimulus plan has been scaled back to woo Republican support. That means less money for school construction projects and discretionary money for individual states. But Durbin says there's still money in the plan for Illinois.
If the state faces a $9 billion deficit, as Comptroller Hines has indicated, I'm hoping that the stimulus package will infuse some $3 billion into the state at a time to give the legislature and governors some relief. And I hope over the next year or two that they can use that relief to put our state back on sound footing.
Durbin says Illinois stands to get around $2.5 billion for Medicaid, with another $1 billion for education programs. There is also money for transportation projects that the states can compete for with matching funds. The Senate is expected to narrowly pass the economic recovery plan early this week. If approved, more compromise is expected, as kinks between the House and Senate plans will have to be worked out before the recovery plan can be sent to President Obama. I'm Jenna Dooley.
State and federal authorities say it will take several days to clean up a 65,000-gallon oil waste spill in southwest suburban Chicago. The U.S. Coast Guard says a holding tank at a Caterpillar facility in Rockdale broke early yesterday, contaminating a three-mile section of the Des Plaines River. Illinois' Environmental Protection Agency says there is no evidence of a fish kill or harm to waterfowl and that humans aren't at risk. The substance was reported to be hydraulic and cutting oil. Most of the oil spilled on land, but 6,000 gallons seeped into the Des Plaines River water. Peoria-based Caterpillar says it immediately notified authorities about the spill and is coordinating cleanup efforts. The U.S. Coast Guard says it has surrounded the contaminated water with a floating wall, and two vacuum trucks on the scene would suck up the sludge. Governor Pat Quinn has named a 28-year-old Chicagoan to head the state's Department of Veterans Affairs. Dan Grant's an Iraqi War veteran and West Point graduate. He's also a former senior advisor to Quinn. Quinn says Grant will bring integrity and an ethic of service to the department. Grant replaces Tammy Duckworth. She's been nominated to serve as an assistant secretary at the Federal Department of Veterans Affairs. Yesterday's announcement was one of Quinn's first opportunities as a governor to return to his favorite cause. Since his election as lieutenant governor in 2002, he's gained a national reputation as one of the leading advocates for military members, their families, and veterans. Pat Quinn has only been Illinois' governor for about a week and a half, but he's feeling pressure to take action. Sean Crawford has more.
Quinn has made promises to reopen state parks and historic sites his predecessor closed last fall. He's also hearing from those who want to reverse orders to close other state facilities or transfer jobs. But for now, Quinn is asking the public to be patient.
Well, you have to, take one day at a time. We can't do everything in one day, but we're moving forward, I think, at a good pace and making progress.
Quinn is also facing questions about the state's budget, which one estimate shows will wind up the year $9 billion in the red. There's speculation Quinn might propose tax increases when he outlines his spending plan next month. But so far, he's giving no hints. I'm Sean Crawford.
One person was injured when a hot air balloon struck some power lines near the Terre Haute Airport, caught fire, and crashed to the ground. Terre Haute Fire Department Chief Jeff Fisher says the pilot was attempting to use a secondary heat source to gain altitude when the balloon struck the transmission line about 5:30 Sunday evening. Fisher says the balloon's basket caught fire as it hit the power lines and fell to the ground. The pilot and passenger were able to run from the wreckage. Firefighters used fire extinguishers and shovels of dirt to put out the fire. The pilot was unhurt, but the passenger was burned and taken to a hospital. Fisher says the extent of the passenger's injuries weren't immediately known. Amid the hoopla of Abraham Lincoln's bicentennial celebration, plans are being made to celebrate another former president with an Illinois background. The 100th anniversary of Ronald Reagan's birth is only 2 years away. Reagan was born and raised in the state, and both his birthplace in Tampico and his boyhood home in Dixon will be featured attractions. Ann Lewis is head of a local planning committee. She says the current focus on other Illinois presidents has helped set the mood for the Reagan event.
When you have the honor, as our state does, of having Lincoln and U.S. Grant and Ronald Reagan and now Barack Obama, We tend to put out good presidents from this state, and so it's just, I think, adds to the momentum of everything.
Lewis says the immediate goal is to obtain state and federal funding to promote the Reagan Centennial. A tearful Jennifer Hudson won her first Grammy last night, thanking her family in heaven and those who are with me today. Hudson won Best R&B Album for her debut CD. The singer and Oscar-winning actress had released the album just weeks before her mother, brother, and nephew were killed in Chicago in October. She returned to the spotlight at this year's Super Bowl, singing the national anthem last week. Champaign-Urbana also has reason to boast after last night's Grammys. Champaign native Alison Krauss took Record of the Year and Album of the Year honors. That latter award was for Raising Sand, which she recorded with Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin fame. The other award was for a single on that album. For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. We heard last week that a marine salvage company had bought an important shipwreck, and they boasted had been able to keep things secret for 9 months. Courts help such secrets remain under wraps, as commentator Amy Guida explains in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
The case name reads like the main characters in a bedtime fairy tale. Odyssey Marine Exploration Incorporated versus the unidentified shipwrecked vessel or vessels and the Kingdom of Spain. This is no fairy tale. The case is just one chapter in the true story of Odyssey Marine Exploration, the company that announced last week that it had located the HMS Victory, a shipwreck from 1744, carrying the company hopes much gold. Before that find came the tussle with Spain over three apparently different shipwrecks. It's no fairy tale, but it is a mystery. I say that because, as you may have read in coverage of the Victory find, when one runs a shipwreck-finding company, one keeps things pretty close to the vest, especially when the shipwreck is from many, many years ago, back when ships contained the stuff of today's cartoons, gold pieces, the weight of which is measured not in pounds, but tons. There are a handful of court decisions springing from the dispute between Odyssey and Spain, and most concern Odyssey's attempts to keep secrets. Spain complained that the company kept too many things confidential in the dispute: documents, photographs, videotapes, and artifact lists. Even though Spain entered the case in order to determine if it had any connection with the ships under the sea, the company, Spain complained, wouldn't give up the information that might make such a connection possible. Odyssey, in turn, argued that such revelations would lessen revenue it receives from selling artifacts and documentation, and might inspire other treasure hunters, jeopardizing the shipwreck site. And so we get legal decisions in which the court balances the right of the company to keep its secrets against the right of the original owner of the undersea ship. In Odyssey versus Spain, the court held last spring, Odyssey must give up the artifact summary, some photographs, and any good faith belief regarding the vessel's identity so that Spain can try to establish a connection to the find. But the shipwreck's precise location, photographs of the seabed, and site plans could remain a secret. Courts go to such lengths to protect a marine salvage company because, they write, to protect such a company helps us all. To allow competing salvers to crisscross their own paths through the wreck site area could result in substantial disturbance of the historical and archaeological capabilities by preventing chronological and comprehensive mapping, studying, preserving, through photographs and otherwise, the full value of the corridor, a court wrote in a different shipwreck case. This would diminish the capabilities of the archaeologists to recreate with authenticity the full spectrum of life represented by the wrecks and the wreck sites in the early 17th century. But of course, for the salvage company, the interest isn't only archaeological, because under maritime law, it'll likely be at least partial owner of what it finds. And the fairy tale-like treasure that lies within the HMS Victory, for example, could be substantial, up to $1 billion worth of gold alone. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for the region today, mostly cloudy skies. Scattered thunderstorms and a chance of showers this afternoon. Not as cool. The high around 62 degrees. We'll have wind gusts up to 25 miles an hour this afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms likely tonight. Not as cool. The low around 42. Partly sunny. Tomorrow, the high around 65. And a chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night. Then showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms after midnight. The low around 48. Windy and cooler Wednesday. Showers and thunderstorms in the morning, then showers likely in the afternoon. The high around 55. We'll have wind gusts up to 30 miles an hour. Colder Wednesday, mostly cloudy. The low around 30. And partly cloudy Thursday through Friday with highs around 45. The low around 25. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, February 9th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, WIOL.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bosser, AM 580 News.